This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Certainly is a privilege to be here this morning, and I want to offer greetings to our president. I know he's not here this morning. He's away. He sent me a text saying he won't be here today because he's meeting with potential donors. So we want to pray for him, and to our provost, and to my dean of College of Art and Science, Dean Beyer, to Rick Swift, and to my colleagues, my good friend, Dr. Andre Rogers, and to all of you students, we greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. I've been here at CIU since 2003 when I came here as a seminary student, and thought I was going to be leaving after graduation, but God had different plans, and He does that. And my wife and I are here loving what we're doing, serving Him at the church at Temple Zion Baptist Church, which is right down the street, as well as working over at the prisons. Both Camille and Kirkland, the 45 students that are in training, they greet you today. Over there, we have a graduation of the men. They'll be graduating in a few weeks, December 12th. We have 15 students graduating from our program with their associate's degree, and they will join along with 80 graduates. We have 70 who are serving in 22 institutions around the state of South Carolina, and they're serving the Lord in those institutions, ministering to their fellow inmates. And so it's a privilege to serve where I'm serving, and I thank God for the opportunity. I love that last song that I saw the lyrics said that you make me brave. And I feel I need some bravery to stand before you today as we share in chapel. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Father, we thank you for this opportunity you give us today. And we thank you, God, for just being alive and how you are using us in your body and how you're growing us in your body and how you are making us more like you. Have your way today. We need to hear a word from you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm a little nervous, not just because I'm standing before my colleagues and before you as students, but I'm nervous based on the subject that I have to share with you. I'm struggling right now because we have a problem on our campus. And I feel led to share about this problem. I hadn't talked to Dean Swift, and you might feel like as a dean of students, he would be more appropriate to talk about this. I hadn't talked to the provost about this problem that we're having, but I'm frustrated by it, and I just need to really get it out. And maybe you might think you might want to turn me off right now because of what I'm about to say, but I got to say this. It's important. We got a problem right here on this campus, and the president may be better to share, but since I'm here and I've been given the opportunity to share, you might not want to ask me to come back, but I'm going to share. We have a problem. And I'm frustrated by it because I've experienced it firsthand. And this problem is that there's someone on this campus stealing. We have a thief in our midst. And again, I might not be the person to talk about this, but it's here. Even on this holy hill, even on this mountain where we come to worship God and we grow in the Lord and study the Word, there's somebody stealing on this campus. And I tried to deal with this individually, but when someone doesn't want to acknowledge or confess, the next thing I believe is to expose it. And so that's what I'm going to do today. We're going to expose this thief. And I just want you to listen to me because this is important. There should not be a thief on this campus, but there is. And it's not unique to CIU. Other campuses, even biblical universities often experience this problem. But it's serious. It's important. The person that I'm referring to, I'm going to expose them today. The person I'm referring to, I'm going to tell you his name. This thief that I'm referring to is time. T-I-M-E. Time. Now we just let the air all out of the room, didn't we? Whoo! Now, if you thought that I was about to expose you in something that you're doing, you need to repent right now. Repent. If you felt like you're about to be exposed, turn right now before something worse happens to you. Amen. Time is a thief. Time will steal from us. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. And let's see what the word says about time. Now that we've raised the temperature just a few degrees, let's talk about redeeming the time. Paul says in verse 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Time is a thief. Time will take our vitality. Time will walk you down. When I was young, I thought I was invincible. I know I'm not the only one. I thought I could do anything I wanted to do, had enough strength. I could stay up all night long and party and have a good time. This is before I met Christ, by the way. I wasn't always saved. Amen. Come on, say amen, somebody. Amen. And then get up and go to work the next day and maybe red shot eyes, but I could still function. But I'm finding that I have the bedtime I have to commit to. I got to get to bed at least around 10 o'clock just to be able to function. Amen. In the morning. Amen. But time will walk you down. You're not able to do the things you used to do. You're not able to run as fast as you used to run. And some of you are young. Y'all don't understand what I'm talking about. But wait till you turn 30 years old. You'll find it real quick that time will walk you down. It'll take a lot out of you. There's no negotiation with time. You can't negotiate with it. You can't say, time, just slow down a little bit. Time doesn't slow down. This moment that you have today, you will never have again. This day that you're given, you will never have it again. When the day is gone, it's over. You'll never see it again. Time will walk us down until it takes our life. James 4:14, he puts it this way. He says, our life is a vapor, a mist, that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Time is a thief. Time will also take our opportunity if we let it. If we don't pay attention, if we're not careful, if we're not wise, we'll lose the opportunities that time affords. But it'll take it away. What opportunities do we have? Well, Paul kind of explains the opportunities we have, even in his book of Ephesians. He says, we have opportunity to give God our glorious praise. That's what he says in verses 1 through 6, in verse 12, and verse 14, verse 3 through 6. He says, we have opportunity to glorify God in praise. Why? For his work of love and grace in our life. He doesn't stop there. He says, we have opportunity to give God our praise for the work of his son, Jesus Christ, in verse 12. We have opportunity for the work of the Holy Spirit that's in our life in verse 14. We have opportunity to give God praise even today. We have opportunity to do good works. Chapter 2, verse 10 is not works by which we're saved, but we are created in good works that he has prepared for us beforehand. We are his workmanship. We're created to do good works. We have opportunity to live a life worthy of the calling by which we're called. Chapter 4, verse 1. We have opportunity to live a life like Christ, be imitators of Christ. Chapter 5, verse 1. And we have opportunity to live as children of light. We were once in darkness, but now we are children of the light. We have all this opportunity to give him praise. We have all this opportunity to do good works. We have all this opportunity to live a life worthy of the calling in which we're called and be salt and light, to be more like Christ. If you want to know why God has allowed you to live, is to give him glory. Some of us have a testimony, I know, that you really shouldn't be here today. Only because of God's grace that you're sitting here. Some of us should have been dead and gone. Some of us were in some near misses, some close calls, some opportunities where you should have been dead, but you're sitting right here. Why do you think God has called you to be here? Why has he given you time? It's not to be wasted. It's to give him glory. It's to serve him. It's to do the work he's called you to do. There's a motto that I hold on to with all my strength. And I even use it on the bottom of my email, when my private email, not my CIU mail, but it's a statement that I say that as long as you live, there's work for you to do. While God has given you these years, some people don't last as long as you do, but he's given you time. What are we doing with our time? Paul tells us we must be careful how we live. Live with wisdom regarding our time. God in his word gives us several truths to help us to be better stewards of our time. Number one, being wise with our time, being a better steward with our time means understanding that time is a precious commodity. He says here, Paul says, redeem the time. Verse 16. This word redeem, ex agorazo, means to purchase, to buy up for oneself, to rescue from loss. Paul, in using this word, is treating time like a purchase, like a precious commodity. He only uses this four times. This word is only used four times in all of the New Testament. And Paul is the one who uses this word. He uses it here in Ephesians 5:16, but he also uses it in Colossians 4:5, where it's the same idea, be wise with your time. Colossians 4:5 says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity, redeeming the time. Buy it up, purchase it, invest in it. But there are two other occasions that he uses it. It's in the book of Galatians. And Galatians, the focus is a little differently. He's not talking about being wise with time to buy it up and purchase it. But he still uses the same word in Galatians 3:13, where it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Then he says in chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. These two verses are used to refer to Christ redeeming us from the slave market of sin. He became a curse for us. And in the same way that God valued our lives and our souls, our very souls, to even send his very best, Jesus Christ, to redeem us from sin, to adopt us as sons, it is the same idea, the same value we ought to have with time. The same value of time. J. Oswald Sanders wrote this. He said, we are going to the marketplace of life and exchanging time for certain occupations and activities. The question we got to ask ourselves is, are those things that we are exchanging, purchasing, investing, spending time on, is it worth it? Moses said in Psalms 90 And he lived older than, I don't think any of us will live as old as Moses did. He probably was 120 years old when he died. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, and 40 years with stiff-necked people. He says it in Psalm 90. He says about God, he says, you turn men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. He says, verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. There was a poem I ran across. I don't know who wrote the poem, but the poem was entitled, What Happened to Time? It said, when as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. And later as I older grew, time flew. Soon I shall find while traveling on, time gone. You know, I think I figured out what the term means to be over the hill. Anybody want to accept that terminology for their life? You over the hill? I think I understand what it means. See, when we were younger, if you remember, we couldn't wait for things to happen. I can't wait until I grow up. I can't wait till I turn 16 to get my driver's license. I can't wait until I get to a drinking age. Say amen, somebody. I know y'all out there. I can't wait till I get out of this house that I can do what I want to do. Amen? Time was going too slow. It was like we were climbing up a slow hill. But at some point in your life, you feel like you're at the top of that hill. And then you're going over the hill. And then after a while, time seems to be flying a lot quicker. It's like yesterday I thought it was January. Now it's November. Where did all the time go? That's how I know we're over the hill, because time is running so fast. And eventually time will be running out. Time is precious commodity. And God fills it with opportunity to give him praise, to do good works, to live a life worthy of his calling, to be like Christ, to be light. What are you doing with your time? What are you really doing with your time? Being wise with time not only means to understand it's a precious commodity, but it also means to live with a purpose. Paul says, he says here, therefore do not be unwise, verse 17, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the Lord's will is. To be wise with time is to understand your purpose, what God's will is for your life. Toward the end of Jesus' life, remember in his priestly prayer in John 17, he says to God, he says in verse 4, I have brought you glory on the earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. Jesus lived on purpose. He was fully in tune with his purpose and why he was here. He did everything in light of that purpose for which God sent him. He says, I did everything according to your purpose. Being wise with our time means to live on purpose. And Paul then adds here, he says, redeem the time, verse 16. Why? Because the days are evil. It's important for us to live on purpose because these are evil days. People are still in darkness. Souls still need to be saved. And you know, my amillennial friends, they believe at some point that things are going to get better. They don't believe in the millennial 1,000-year reign of peace, where Jesus would establish a 1,000-year reign of peace. They believe at some point the church will be able to establish that peace. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, and some actually believe that Satan is bound right now. But when I read my Bible, it says that it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And it's going to get worse. And it's going to get worse. How much more are we up to master and redeem our time? When one does not live a life of purpose, wasted time is a result. And you may ask of your life, what is God's purpose for my life? He has a plan for you. But it's better for you to understand what his purpose is for your life instead of wasting your time. Because what I found is when I don't know what he's called me to do, then I will say yes to all these other things that he has nothing for me to do or no responsibility for. And so we waste a lot of time. We waste a lot of money. We waste a lot of time. We waste a lot of energy. But when you know what your purpose is, when you know what God is calling you to do, when you know what gifts he's given you, you know what plan he has for you in ministry and all those things you're trying to discover, that should be your main prayer as you go through this season of your life. Lord, where are you taking me? And God doesn't always reveal everything at that moment because he knows we can't handle it all. But be open to what he's calling you to do and begin to walk in it as you understand it. And what you don't know, there are some things you already do know. Do what you know, and he'll guide you in the direction of where you don't. He hits a moving target. Our purpose is to glorify God ultimately and to live a life fulfilling his agenda, reconciling men to himself. Find out what his purpose is. He says, understand what his will is. And we often say that, you know, I just don't have enough time in the day. But we have the same amount of time as everybody else. President of the United States don't have any more time than we do. The president of our institution doesn't have any more time than we do. It's how we manage our time. It's what we do in our free time. It's how we prioritize that makes all the difference in the world. We all have times where it's non-negotiable. We got to sleep. We got to eat. But what do we do with it? There was a sign on a door of a closed business that said, gone out of business. Didn't know what our business was. Being wise of time means dealing with, watch this, procrastination. How many procrastinators do we have in the house? Raise your hand. See, you were even slow in doing that. Listen, it said make the most of every opportunity, and you got to deal with your procrastination. Don't make excuses. Don't lie to yourself saying I work best under pressure. Don't lie. You got to deal with that procrastination. And this is the time now to deal with that. Don't wait till the last minute to do stuff and thinking, hey, I'm blessed and God's going to bless it. You're not giving God your first fruits. You're giving God your leftovers. That's not the best that we can do. Take it from a recovering procrastinator. That's not the best that we can do. Plan, prepare, prioritize. Because the what you produce at that last minute isn't your best. You're relying on your talents, but that's not going to get you but so far. The reason, come on, let's be honest. The reason why we procrastinate is because we're afraid. We don't want to deal with this big issue, so we wait till the last minute to deal with it. Or we're relying on our talents because it seems to work so well before. Or we just, to be honest, we just are not good stewards. We're not disciplined. But let me tell you, when you graduate from here, as some of us think and believe, I've been a student, I understand. Man, when I graduate, things will be a lot better, a lot easier. Let me burst your bubble right now. It's going to get worse. The ratio between the work and the time you have to work will change. You'll have more work and less time to do that work. And you think that's impossible. All these assignments, all these things I have, and you're telling me it's going to get worse? Yes, it will. Because now you've graduated to a higher level. And the expectation is that you're going to be able to manage your time well, and you're going to have to prioritize what is good versus what is best. Ministry will wear you down, and all these things will come at you if you don't know how to manage your time wisely. And you spend your energy on things that have no eternal value, or those things that won't bear fruit that will last. So let me tell you, manage it now. Don't wait till later. That's procrastination, by the way. Allow time to not steal from you. Procrastination has been called a thief of time. And it's also, I like this part, been called disobedience in slow motion. Jesus has some hard things to say about procrastination. A man told Jesus, "I'll follow you wherever you go, but first, let me go and be with my family." Jesus said, "No one who puts his hand on a plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom." I hear the Hebrew writer saying, today, if you hear God's voice, harden not your heart. Tomorrow is not promised to you. See, we always think we have more time tomorrow than the night before. Have you ever experienced that? Where you wait till tomorrow and say, "I can deal with it tomorrow." Then when tomorrow shows up, there's some unexpected stuff that happens that now you got to press things and you got to push things even further. It always happens that way. What are you doing with your time? Lastly, being wise with time means being prepared when our time is up. Time is running out. And that's my greatest point of frustration, I believe, is when I've run out of time and I don't feel prepared. Have you ever had that? That's what nightmares are made of. You ever had that nightmare where you show up for class and there was an exam and you didn't know that there was an exam? Or you show up for something and you're not prepared? You know, if we would just be prepared and do things beforehand, that would reduce all kinds of accidents. People rushing from point A to point B. Some of y'all are rushing to get here this morning. I know. Yeah, come on, just be honest. And it lifts up your stress level. And you got to calm down to even function. Our time will run out. On several occasions, Jesus emphasized this idea of time is limited. Therefore, we must be ready. He says in John 9:4, "Work while it's day, for night is coming when no man will work." He told us the parable of the talents, which the whole point of that parable is do your work. I will return one day. And when you return, there was an accounting. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins, where 5 were wise, they had their lamps trimmed, but there were 5 foolish ones that weren't ready, they went to sleep, and so when the bridegroom came, they were left out. Again, Jesus, toward the end of his life, says, "I've done everything you called me to do. I brought you glory by completing the work you gave me to do." We don't know how much time we have. I don't know how much time I have. But I want to expend everything I have because I want to hear him say those words, that he won't flatter me with saying it. I would have earned it by serving him faithfully and good. He would say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You know, there was a game we used to play, maybe you didn't, I did, called hide and seek. Anybody ever played that game when they were young? Somebody had to be the count, the one to count, and close their eyes at a tree or somewhere, and everybody go hiding, and they would count to 100, or however high you can count at that age. And at the end, they would yell out these words, "Ready or not, here I come." The Lord is saying to us, "I'm coming." The good news about this is this. Our Redeemer, even if we've been wasting a lot of time, if we start today and commit ourselves to his work, he knows how to restore the years the locusts have eaten. There's only one place in Scripture, only one time in history that time actually slowed down and stopped. When Joshua was fighting against God's enemies. That speaks to me that when you give your life and time to him, even the little time we think we have, God knows how to expand it to accomplish everything He wants us to accomplish. But let's not take for granted His grace. Redeem your time. Make this count. Don't waste it, this precious time He gives you to study His word. Because when you get out of here, it's ratcheted up another notch. Take it from me, I know. Time doesn't wait for anyone. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the time You give us. I know, Lord, that we have no means of controlling when we're born, that date. And we have no means of controlling when we'll die. But the dash in between, You partner with us to redeem the time. Some of us may feel guilty because, like me, some of us feel like, boy, all the time I wasted before I came to know You. And Lord, if I had just trusted You early on in life, how much further along would I be? But even that, You knew all about that. You knew when we would come to You. And You are able to make the most of the opportunities You give us, even at this season of our life. Thank You for being our Redeemer. But You give us responsibility to take hold of time and purchase it up for ourselves, for Your glory. Be with our friends here. Be with my brothers and sisters. Help us, Lord, to be better stewards and not wasteful, because You're coming back and coming back soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.